Good morning, Fort McMurray, with Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Max City Morning Show. I'm your host, Elliot Pierre. We're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How's it going, you guys? It's Jake White, JJW, coming at you from Norrell Toyota in Fort McMurray. Just wanted to say hi and come on down, check the place out.
Hi, my name's Richard. I'm the service manager here at Norrell Toyota.
Hi there, I'm Adam. I'm here at Norrell Toyota. I'm a product advisor.
Hi, I'm Cass. I'm the appointment coordinator. Happy to help you.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. As you've seen, you met all my staff. These guys are all my family. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to Norrell Toyota, our title sponsor for today's episode. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
Thank you, Ali, for having me. My name is Omar Hussein. I am the president of the Wood Buffalo and Labor District Council. I also work at the hospital here as an X-ray and CT tech. And I've been in Fort McMurray for about a decade now. So
wow.
Officially home.
Wow. Okay. So where are you from originally then?
So I grew up in Ottawa.
Okay.
Yeah, so lived there my whole life. And then I moved up here because, I worked for Health Canada for a bit. Didn't like the bureaucracy. I'm working for the federal government.
Yeah.
So I actually moved up here. I worked at Curl Lake as a safety officer. Did that for a little bit, but didn't really like the work. I felt like I was a police officer chasing people down and stuff like that. So that wasn't kind of my cup of tea.
Yeah.
And then I went back to school. I went to the NAEP program. They have an X-ray program. Did that. And then the funny thing is that the way NAEP works is that you get placements anywhere Edmonton North. That's the area they cover. And then there's a program in SAIT in Calgary that covers Calgary and the southern part of the province.
Mm.
So then when my name was drawn, I was brought to Fort McMurray for my practicum placement,
which is
the clinical portion of your training.
Right.
So then after I did my clinical portions here, I just stayed and 10 years later, I'm still here.
That's wild. That's my favorite part about Fort McMurray, and I talked about it yesterday in a course I was teaching. You literally can do anything in Fort McMurray. Like, the opportunity is there.
Yeah.
You're not guaranteed to be successful. You're not guaranteed to make money doing it, but anything you want to try, you can do. Maybe like a technician, human resources, a podcaster, a firefighter. The opportunity really is here for you to try whatever you want.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And for us, so I am on the board of my main union, the Health Science Association of Alberta. We have over 200 disciplines that we represent.
Cool.
So everything from OTs, occupational therapists, X-ray technologists, sonographers, dietitians, speech language pathologists, right?
Mm-hmm.
We even have health inspectors as part of our union. So it's a broad sector.
Yeah.
We cover broad people, and it's just really interesting that we have almost every one of those professions represented here in our community.
Yeah.
Is really good.
How do you organize all that? Because, like, I know at the hospital, like you just were listing, like, you have physical therapists there as well, and like all of them have their own like governing bodies themselves. So like, how do you work with that? Like, how do you work with other governing bodies, yourself, management? Like, how does the communication structure for that all kind of fall into place?
Yeah, so it's actually a really good, interesting question. So for us, majority of our members are in regulated professions, which means that we have the Health Professions Act in Alberta. That's the profession that creates 28 health colleges. Each health college is a profession. For example, like physiotherapists, they're regulated.
Mm-hmm.
Sonographers aren't regulated, but you have pharmacists, OTs, occupational therapists, you have physiotherapists. They're all in their regulated professions. So the profession, what they're responsible for is the protection of the public. That's why they're created. To ensure that anyone entering the profession is of good standing and is competent to actually deliver the services. So that's from the regulatory side of the spectrum.
Okay.
For me, for example, I was the chair of my regulatory college, the Alberta College of Diagnostic and Therapeutic Technologists, for 6 years. So my job at that level was to ensure that anyone entering any of the diagnostic imaging studies, so that's X-ray, that is MRI, that is nuclear medicine, and that's radiation therapy, anyone entering those professions came from an accredited program, did the clinical placement, and also does continuing education. So that was the job of the regulatory, is to ensure that the public is safe and the public is getting the proper services, because we ensure that people coming into the profession are people that are qualified. So that's part of it. On the union side, our job is to look after our members once they're employed. So once you're a physiotherapist, once you're an occupational therapist, once you're even a pharmacist, right? Mm-hmm. And you're in work, we want to make sure that you have the best working conditions possible. Because we actually believe, man, like the work, the conditions of work are the conditions of care. If you're not paid well, if you aren't protected at the work site, you can't focus on patient care, which is what our members do. So we have to remind them, hey, whether you're a pharmacist, whether you're a physiotherapist, whether you're a paramedic, or whether you are, a speech pathologist, you also belong to a bigger family, which is your union family, which is looks after you and make sure that you're well taken care of. Yeah. You have a pension after, 30, 40 years of service to the public sector, and that you have good working conditions that allow you to not only care for your patients, but also take care of yourself at the same time.
Yeah. Man, that was a great explanation. For anybody at home, like, I've never heard an explanation of that, like, especially, like, the colleges and how they, like, fit into the whole thing. That was fantastic.
Exactly.
So, listen, I have a question for you. Yeah. And, like, best of luck answering this one. So, COVID happened, right?
Yeah.
And so you had the first responders. Like, they were there. And, I think everybody in the world, like, rallied around to be like, yeah, thank you very much, right?
Absolutely.
And then you had the teachers. My wife is an administrator, vice principal, very proud of her. She just finished her master's a few days ago.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so, so she's in the education realm. So, like, I see, like, they were one of the first back helping and dealing with all that, right? So now we're coming into bargaining time for both. And in my head, I'm just like, the population, I, as like a citizen of the world, saw what happened and saw you guys like day in, day out there.
Yeah.
So like in my head, I'm assuming that like you guys have a lot of public support. But as I'm talking with you guys a little bit today, maybe not as much as I thought. What do you think that's about?
So that is that's something that we're all, like, all public, especially public sector unions, are dealing with. Like, people have to understand, going through COVID as a public sector employee, especially as a essential service employee, it was devastating.
Yeah.
I'll give an example. In our hospital here in Fort McMurray, we had to open up, we had an extended ICU. So our regular ICU was full. We had to open up an additional ICU and receive patients from other communities that didn't have ICUs. We had people coming in from Grand Prairie because their ICUs were at a capacity.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, I as an X-ray that would go to these ICUs because we have to do chest X-rays, right? So patients can't come in. They're intubated. The doctor needs to see their lung condition. So you go in there with the portable X-ray machine and you see people that look like you, that are sometimes even younger than you, completely intubated, and they can't do anything, and the nursing ratio is 1-to-1 and there's no space anymore. So that was just traumatizing, because you see them walking in with the shortness of breath, right, the walkie-talkie, then they get diagnosed with they don't have COVID, they get placed on the medicine floor. They deteriorate quickly. Next thing you know, they're being intubated in ICU. So that, you see that progression, and that just, it really affects you.
Yeah.
So you have that aspect of it. And then what happened is that we hunkered down. People were working overtime. We had travel nurses coming into the hospital, right? And all sorts of people helping out, because there just wasn't enough actual staff to look after everyone that needed to be looked after.
Yeah.
And if you actually go before that, before COVID, we had the oil slump in this province, right? Mm-hmm. So all public sector employees said, you know what? We love this province. We love our communities. I mean, we will do whatever it takes. And that means taking zeros, we'll take zeros. So we got no wage increases
from
2014 up until the pandemic, really. So then the pandemic hits, and then everything's about patient care. Everything's about the students in the classroom. Everything's about just delivering the basic services that the community and the province needs to actually function. Then coming out of that, Oil prices have recovered. I mean, oil companies are making money now. And the thing that people I want people to understand is that a lot of the oil sand industries have reached payout, which means now that the amount of royalties that the provincial government is getting per barrel of oil has increased because those companies have paid back their capital costs, right? Mm-hmm. So now what's happening is this government is at a surplus. They have an actual budgetary surplus, a significant one, right? And then they're coming to all the public sector employees. That's I'm talking about AUPE, which represents all the public sector employees, all around the province. They're coming to the nurses, they're coming to us, they're coming to the teachers and saying, you know what? We're not giving you much. I mean, they're literally offering most unions 7.25% over 4 years. Mm-hmm. 7.25% over 4 years. Take that in. That doesn't cover inflation. It doesn't cover the cost of living anymore. It doesn't cover the fact that people are renewing their mortgage at 6% for a five-year fix or 5.5%. So there are people in the public sector right now, and I'm not trying to fearmonger or make anybody feel uncomfortable, that rely on food banks to feed their families. I mean, and for somebody that delivers a critical service that was there for the community when we need it most, so now you can't give you enough money, you have to, you know, to feed your family and be there, you have to go to the food bank. It's just unacceptable, and I think that's what's happening all across the public sectors, and it's all coming to a head in the fall. If this government does not change their tune, if they don't come to the bargaining table and just bargain in good faith, the unions aren't asking for a lot. We're just asking to be looked after, so just like we've looked after the community when everything was going really badly during COVID. So
yeah, it's kind of wild to me, because for me, I'm just like, if you're a teacher or a healthcare worker, like whatever you want. You know what I mean? Because, like, we are all affected by it in one way, shape, or form. And so, like, and I had to live with somebody who was, like, going to school every day again, sneezed on. I'm like, man, no, I got to deal with these germs, too. Yes. Like, it took a toll on everybody. So, Absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting to hear your guys' point of view today, because, like, that wouldn't have been my overall understanding of, like, where things necessarily were.
Yeah. And the thing that I want to say is that the government has the money. Like, we're not asking the government to go into debt. We're not asking people to pay more taxes. The government literally has increased royalty revenue from the sale of oil, right? Mm-hmm. All we're asking is that help the public sector continue to deliver the services that Albertans still need, yeah. right? And look after people that are actually doing that. So that's all we're doing. We're being very reasonable, but we can't do it alone. We need the government to help us out and actually make sure that we can retain us. And if you actually look at that, we have shortages in the public sector. Like I'm talking about, there's teacher shortages. We have shortages at the hospital. We have travel nurses that literally make double the amount of nurses. So a travel nurse makes $100 an hour.
Okay? Yeah.
And why do we need them? Why are they here? Because we can't recruit our own nurses to stay. So I think there's a lot of things that we need to work on, but we need a willing partner. And I think that's why we're just, all unions are really going to be at a place where we are looking to make sure that our members get the deal they deserve come fall, and go from there.
There we go. Well, dude, on that note, we are out of time, but everybody gets a shameless shout out plug before I let them leave. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
Yeah, so my other role is the president of the Wood Buffalo Labor District Council. What we are is that we are a nonprofit labor organization, and we bring unions in this informal community together to really give back to the community. And the thing that we want to do is that we want people to understand that unions not only care about their members, but we really also care about the communities we work and live in. So we hold events all the time in our community. Our biggest event that we're known for is the Labor Day Barbecue, a completely free event. So I feel like people have to understand that it's completely free. It's put on by unions just to appreciate the working people in this community. We're going to do a Canada Day float. That's a labor float showing all the unions are together. But the thing that I just want to say is that unions care. We care about this community. We care about Fort McMurray. We always have cared. This is a union town, and we're going to do a lot of work in the next couple of years to remind people that unions built this community, and we are here to stay, and that we love everybody that works here and lives here. So
there we go. Morning show from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace. That was excellent, man.